In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. May the Lord be praised, both now and forever. What I'd like to talk about today is looking at Moses, looking at the face of Moses. Remember, he went up to Mount Sinai. Remember that when he came down from Sinai, the Israelites could not look on his face. Remember that. Remember what he received on Sinai. 2 cold tablets with the law. And what did the law tell us? The law told us that we had all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. Let's listen to the word of God from 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 7. But if the ministration of death, that's the law, written and engraved in stone was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. Let's look at that again. The ministration of death, because the law told us we had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, came with the glory. But the glory was hidden. The children of Israel could not look on the face of Moses. He covered his face. It was a passing glory. It was a passing glory. Let's go on now, and we're going to go chapter 4, verse 5. Paul says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." So Paul tells you that he preaches clearly Christ Jesus. This is what we preach. We preach Christ Jesus, and we are servants for Jesus' sake. And why? Because he tells us before, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. In other words, we preach Christ Jesus, we preach his mercy, because first we have received his mercy. And the only thing we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Moses. That the glory on Moses' face was hidden because it was a passing glory. That the glory on Moses' face came with the giving of the law. He covered his face with the veil. The Israelites could not look on his face. But the light of the knowledge of the glory of God now shines on the face of Jesus. That we with unveiled faces can look at the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. For we have received mercy, even as Paul has received mercy. And this glory on the face of Jesus is not a transitory glory, a glory that passes away. It is an eternal glory. For if the law came with glory, how much more glory comes with grace? How much more glory comes with mercy? How much more glory comes with forgiveness? Beholding the face of Jesus, for the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. You want to see the glory of God? Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and finisher of our salvation. And it's so clear that, Paul tries to state that what happened to the Old Testament was beautiful, but it wasn't complete. What does it say in the book of Hebrews? That in past, God spoke to us in partial and fragmentary ways through the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken fully through his Son, who is the image of God, the refulgence of his glory. How do I also know that the law was passing? Not only because he wore a veil, but what does Jeremiah 31:31 say? Behold, the days are coming. They haven't arrived yet. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like the covenant I made with your fathers when I led them out of the land of Egypt. But this is the covenant that I will make. I will write my laws on their heart, and all shall know God. That new and eternal covenant was promised by Jeremiah 31:31. The new and eternal covenant. We hear Jesus on the night before he dies, take and drink. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for many unto the forgiveness of sins. The new and eternal covenant that Jeremiah promised is seen in the blood of the Lamb. Take and drink. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for many unto the forgiveness of sins. I will write my laws on their hearts through the blood of Jesus, and each shall know God, and you will have no one to need you to teach who God is, because the Spirit of God will give witness. Yes, people will speak the word, but you will know the truth by the inward Spirit who affirms, confirms, and tells you inside, this is real, this is true. See, I cannot teach you. I can speak. Only God can teach from within. Only the Spirit of God can teach from within. I cannot teach you. I can say words. I can tell the truth. I can tell you what's happening. But I cannot touch your heart. I do not have access into the Holy of Holies of your heart. I speak an outer word, and it's only the Spirit of Jesus that convicts and tells you this is real. You see, where I stop, he begins. But not only where I stop, he begins. Hopefully, where I stop, he has already inspired me to speak, and then he begins again in you. It's very beautiful that this glory of God shining on the face of Jesus, brighter than the sun, a glory that will not destroy, but a glory that will transform as we behold him in faith. A glory that is not transient or transitory, but a glory that is eternal, because it's been a new and everlasting covenant. There's nothing more. Nothing more than the cross, burial and resurrection, and the giving of the Spirit. Nothing more. But in that reality, there is eternal, eternal consequences and eternal blessings. So we have not even touched the surface of the new and eternal covenant. We have not even touched the surface of the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. We have not even touched the surface of the reality that this is an eternal glory. St. John says, "You have no need for anyone to teach you, for the anointing will teach you all things." The anointing of the Holy Spirit will teach you all things from within. St. Paul taught from without, inspired from without, but the anointing taught the Galatians from within. Let's look at that, because he's going to tell you about that. Let's look at Galatians now. Come on now. It's GEP, so it's right after Corinthians, I think. Here it is. Okay, listen to what he says. "O foolish Galatians," why is he calling them foolish? Because they are going back to the law. They're saying to be a real Christian, you need circumcision. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently sent forth, crucified among you?" This is an interesting statement. How was Jesus Christ set forth as the crucified one? Through the preaching of Paul. That was the inspired preaching of Paul, that he gave his life for the Galatian community. He shed his blood. But the inward Holy Spirit taught them it was true. So he says, listen, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, who put a spell on you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." When he preached the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus was presented as crucified. Their hearts knew it, the inward word. No one needed to teach them. Paul spoke the outward word, but their hearts, the anointing, taught them the inward word. But listen, "This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by works," by becoming circumcised, "works of the law, or by hearing with faith?" How did you receive the Holy Spirit? By works of the law, or by hearing with faith? "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you now are made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he works miracles among you." Does he do this by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? So St. Paul just sets it before the Galatian community. They're on the wrong track. They're going back to the Torah. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Torah, but Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. In times past, God spoke in fragmentary ways through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Paul went to the Galatian community. He preached the gospel. The cross was presented through his preaching. The Holy Spirit made it real in their hearts. Paul leaves the community. Some Judaizers come in and say, in order to be a Christian, you've got to be circumcised, following the law of Abraham. Paul says, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by believing in faith? You understand what I'm saying? This is so vital. The law cannot save us. The law cannot save us. It is the grace of God that saves us through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. The cross, the power of the cross. That's why he'll say in the letter to the Galatians, far be it from me to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. It's all about the cross. But in Corinthians, he'll say that the cross is a great stumbling block to both Jews and Gentiles. But he'll also tell you it's the wisdom of God and the power of God. Who will preach the cross during these years, during these days, during the darkness of what we are experiencing in 2011? Who will preach the cross as the light to the nations, as the light to the Jews, and the light to the Gentiles? Who will preach the cross? Who will preach Jesus, crucified, buried, raised from the dead? Who will preach him? We've had enough dribble, enough words that don't pierce the heart. Who will preach the cross? Power of God unto salvation. It's a lost art. It's a lost art. You listen, you know. They preach everything but the cross. You can preach everything, but the cross always has to be there. You can preach on prosperity, but the cross has to be there. You can preach on healing. There's no healing apart from the cross. You can preach on deliverance. There's no deliverance apart from the cross. You can preach on peace, but our peace comes through the blood of the cross. But who preaches the cross? You know, that's a good question. It's a good question. Francis Xavier went to India. How did he convert the people in India? He held up the crucified Jesus and told them what that Jesus did for them on the cross, shed his blood for them. And they heard and believed, just like the Galatian community. That to this very day, I have a priest living with me from India. And their gospel came from St. Thomas. And renewed by Francis Xavier. St. Thomas the Apostle went to India. And renewed by Francis Xavier, holding up the cross. But who will preach the cross, you know? There aren't many people who preach the cross. There aren't many people who preach the blood. There aren't many people who preach the sacrifice of Calvary. And you see, this is really what I don't understand this, okay? We as Catholics, because tonight I have Mass at 7:30, we as Catholics have the blood of Jesus on the altar. But who preaches the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins? Who preaches the power of the cross? We drink his precious blood, but who preaches the life-giving blood of the Lamb? There aren't many people. There aren't many people. Yet Paul said, far be it from me to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. He didn't glory in his apostleship. He gloried that he had received mercy. He gloried that though he was a Jew and he knew of Moses and that the glory of God was on Moses and it was carved in stone, but it was a passing glory, but now the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus, crucified dead, buried, and raised from the dead. The glory of God is on the face of Jesus, and it's forever there. There will never be any more glory. It shines on the face of Jesus, and we can look, and we can meditate, and we can contemplate the glory of God on the face of Jesus. And we can bathe in that light. Bathe in the glory. Why are people healed? I'm going to tell you. Sister Ruth taught us this many years ago. Sister Ruth Heflin, I'll never forget it. Why are people healed? You get them into the glory of God, where the presence of God is tangible through worship. We worship God, who is worthy of our worship. The glory of God comes. That's why people are healed. When the glory comes, shining on the face of Jesus, anything is possible. Benny Hinn knows this, okay? Whether you like him or not, I'm going to tell you. He gets the people worshiping. He's not a fool. He did exactly what Catherine Kuhlman did. Catherine Kuhlman would speak for an hour and a half. You know, she'd speak about her father and her mother. She'd speak about all these things, and sometimes it made sense, and sometimes it didn't make sense, but she kept on speaking. But then she'd get the people worshiping, and then the power came. Oh, the power. I've never seen that kind of power anyplace else but at her services. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it to be true. I've never seen that kind of power anyplace else. That's real. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I breathe it in, literally. And that's what we need in these days, where people would come to know the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus, breathing in the atmosphere of heaven, so that we'd be changed from one degree of glory to the other, and that we wouldn't be stuck in legalism or sin or brokenness. We wouldn't be stuck, but all these things would be a diving board into the presence of God. We need an outpouring of His glory. We need it. We are desperate for it. We are desperate for it. That atmosphere of heaven that comes and changes people from one degree of glory to the other. That atmosphere of heaven, we are in absolute need of it. You see, you could talk about evangelization all you want, but I'm going to tell you, the great evangelizer is the Holy Ghost. He's the great evangelizer. The anointing teaches you all things. That's why I say the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so necessary. Oh, it's not necessary for your salvation, but it's necessary for ministry. It's necessary. If it was necessary for John and James and Peter and Paul and Andrew and Simon, it's necessary for us. It's necessary for us. That baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary for us. And you might want to refute that, but you know, you're the loser. Your ministry will be on your own power. But when the Spirit of God comes, I tell you, things begin to happen that you cannot make happen. You start seeing things that St. Paul said, you know, he that ministers to you, the Spirit works miracles among you. Does he do that through the law or through hearing with faith? He's telling the Galatian community that miracles happen in their community. I tell you, that's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit, call it what you want, is absolutely necessary if you want to do the work of God, the ministry of God. And it was necessary for Peter and James and John, and it was necessary for Andrew and Nathaniel. It's necessary for us. It might not be very highfalutin. You know what I'm saying? Highfalutin, you know, I might start speaking in other languages, you know, and I might embarrass myself. Please. Please. Just please. It's good enough for the apostles. They were close to Christ. They touched him. It's good enough for us. That baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary for ministry. If you've not received it, you get on your knees and tell the Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. You don't need people to lay hands on you. I didn't have people lay hands on me, and I received it. That baptism of the Holy Spirit will open doors for you. Doors! But then you proclaim Jesus and him crucified. You pray for healing, calling on the power of the cross, on the power of the blood. And you be a blood-washed person that will proclaim the Lord and not yourself. You hear what I'm saying? May Jesus Christ be praised today, both now and forever, from the rising of the sun to his setting. May the name of the Lord be praised, for the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus Christ eternally. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.